Oh yeah, that's right. We're leading this bitch off with Molly Hatchet this week. It's like that. You're listening to the Squatland Yard podcast. Welcome to the Ring of Power. We are your tag team non-experts of fitness, masculine lifting, power development, and thigh circumference. I'm Spencer Hall, a.k.a. Orson Swindle from EDSPS.com. Joining me?
I'm Rick Muscles from the Twitter feed, Rick Muscles.
I love it when you say that. And I want you to let the audience know how many days in a row you've worked out.
We're at 23 days in a row, including my yoga practice on Sundays. We're really taking the muscle fitness workout pretty seriously. It's working pretty well. I'm pretty happy about it right now.
How much longer do you have on this madness, by the way?
This is week 4, so I got 8 more weeks after this.
You have 8 weeks left?
Yeah, it's going to be awful. It's really, I'm always tired. I can't eat enough, and I can't drink enough water. It's a nightmare.
I was going to say, what adverse effects? You just mentioned that you can't eat enough.
Yeah, I've eaten like crazy. It's not like I'll just eat, like, you know, I'll eat all day at work, and then I'll go home, start eating some more, and then drink as much water as I can, keep this going. And I can't sleep enough either. The time change has absolutely killed me this week. It's been a nightmare. I just, like, get to work, I just stare at my computer screen until I get enough coffee in me. But, yeah.
How many times are you squatting a week in this workout?
Twice, including the squat-to-failure workout that happens on Saturdays, which is a superset where you front squat on the Smith machine 12 times, and then immediately you move to a back squat with the typical Smith machine squat, which I kind of enjoy doing, where you put your feet out more and you lift more with, like, the tops of your thighs a little bit more than your butt. But that's to failure. So that's 3 sets to failure on that one. So I go home and go to sleep after that.
six days a week.
Yeah, 6 days a week, plus yoga on Sundays, which is flowing calisthenics, essentially.
And are you the only, I've asked this before, but again, are you the only guy in that yoga class?
Oh, no. There's a lot of old guys, but yeah. No, there's a guy I like to bother, like, after the, in the steam room afterwards, he's like this really old liberal guy. And I'll just start asking him questions, and he just gets really annoyed by me. That's another thing, too, is I also realized literally this week, though, like, we were joking around on my Twitter feed about me finding ways to meet new girls, and somebody was like, yeah, just check out the Lost Connections on Craigslist. So I go through the Birmingham Lost Connections, or Miss Connections on Craigslist, and it's all, like, men seeking men in, like, my weight room, like, in the locker room. Like, it's, like, page after page of, like, Gold's Gym 280. It's you in the weight room, buddy.
So you didn't realize that
I had no idea that I was in Plato's Den of Iniquity.
you didn't realize that you were basically in, like, the cock. You were in the enchanted cock forest, and
yeah,
didn't even know it.
Well, yeah, I knew I was in the cock forest. I didn't know it was that enchanted, though.
I was unclear on its degree of magicality.
Yeah. So now I'm in there. I'm just creeped out by everybody in my weight room now. Like, you're not touching me, bro. Down this weight.
Do you think that's what the old guy thought you were? Like, is that why he's annoyed? You're like, man, this guy's bro's trying to hook up with me.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, I feel like I'm too old to be cruise now. I mean, I haven't been cruise since my early 20s, but geez Louise, it's getting upsetting.
You know some picky ass gay guys then.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, like the weight room's like a ton of gay guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about it. You know what I mean? Like, the deal. But I mean, still. But it's like, after reading the Miss Connections, I was like, oh my God, where am I working out?
You know, that is something, though, that seriously, if you are an aware weightlifter, you're way more comfortable with gay dudes.
Yeah.
Like, just period. Like, by default. Because if you work out for longer than a year, chances are you've been outnumbered.
Yeah.
In the weight room.
Well, in the 70s, I mean, bodybuilding was like a gay sport, you know? It was like this weird thing that these guys are like, well, I'm really, you know, upset about my masculinity, but I was, you know what I mean?
And, well, yeah, like if you hear any bodybuilders' quotes from the time, like any of those bodybuilders, especially Arnold, they're like, homosexuality does not bother me in the least. It does not. It's just another form of freedom. They admire good bodies. You know, they're very complimentary to me. You know,
They all had like, well-kept haircuts and a nice mustache,
well, that was essential. That was essential. You know, like that's why Freddie Mercury. That mustache is why Freddie Mercury wore one. By the way, I have to get a pair of Adidas's. I have to get a pair of like the Freddie Mercury Adidas's.
Oh, that would be great.
I've been looking for them everywhere, just so somebody at one point can look at me and go, "Those are Freddie's shoes, aren't they?" Like, yes, they are. Well, let's do this. I will check in with me. I've been good. I've been on the I've been the 2 to 3 heavy, if that, conditioning about twice a week. I harmed myself by doing like a zillion sit-ups on Wednesday, and I think I ripped my diaphragm from its base. I think seriously, my diaphragm was floating free around my torso, well into the weekend.
Oh,
It was
wow.
an absolutely horrific feeling. Other than that, doing well, getting swole, and
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
now on this. We're going to discuss this further, but I'm on the diet. Damn it, the diet, which is going really well. I will now review everything that I ate on binge day. Are you prepared for
Oh,
this?
man, I can't wait.
Okay, binge day breakfast. Actually, we're going to start pre-breakfast because I snatched three fudge-covered shortbread cookies, each about the size of like a doubloon. Okay, so that's what I opened up the day with, was three massive shortbread cookies covered in fudge. Then went to the. Keep in mind, this is after a week of like slow, no carbing it. All right, where I've lost like about 5 to 7 pounds. And then on this binge day, you spike your. The idea is to spike your glucose as much as possible, right? Which you read about.
Oh, I certainly did.
As well as horrifying sexual techniques, which we will discuss hopefully in depth. I want to make it very clear in graphic terms how disturbing the sex chapter in the 4-hour body, which we're going to talk about, is. And I saw Tim Ferriss at South by Southwest, by the way, and it's more disturbing if you picture him doing it.
How orange is the tan?
He's not. He's not. He I think he knows that that's like, he's from San Francisco, so he knows that's kind of naff, right?
I
So
just don't.
he's not tan, but I will tell you this, he was bescarfed,
Ooh.
right? So bescarfed, which is of course like the Northern California tan. That's what
Sure.
that is. So yeah, let's see. Then I went to breakfast and I had butter pecan pancakes.
Delicious.
Yeah, smothered like a big stack of, you know, four of them, and then smothered that in syrup, and then had the side of bacon, and ate like half the stuff off another dude's plate. Because I could. That was in addition to three mimosas, right? Which, you know, you have to have. Then I went and, then went and had it just gets worse. I had two Danishes, right? Yeah, two. That was good. One was cream cheese, one was strawberry filling. They were both outstanding. Then I had let's see. They give you a drink ticket, so I had to have Macallan, right? So I had to, we went by the Macallan tent, so I had like a glass of scotch at like 11:30. Why the hell not? It's there. Then for goddamn, what a, then I ended up eating like I ended up eating just a burger and like two orders of fries and two things of ice cream, and then there was another meal in there. I think it involved oh yeah, it involved a lot of cookies, and then I had a cupcake too. So that was binge day, and that was all on top of like the probably pitcher and a half of beer I had, and it over the course pitcher and a half to 2 pitchers of beer I had over the course of the afternoon. So some total about 10 drinks and all that food.
Ooh.
That was binge day.
Sure.
How did I feel on Monday? Like a god. I felt so good on Monday. I woke up and felt fantastic. I should have felt honestly like I had passed through the belly of the Sarlacc itself. No, I felt awesome. I felt ready to conquer the world. So I'm really liking the extreme nature of like one day of this diet that allows me to be as stupid as I would be normally, right? Yeah. So in other words, self-experimentation, I will say, very fun. Let's go ahead and take some readers' questions. Do you have any address to you that you would like to address first?
Hey, hold, let me see. Go ahead and ask yours. Let me check them real quick.
I've got one. I think it's a very good basic one. Okay. Which is, let me make sure I have the name right before we do. From user Banks W on Twitter. Hello, sir. What's a good base workout for someone like me who's lanky as hell and has never really lifted weights?
Ooh. This is what I would do in that situation. I would probably, this is gonna sound dumb, but I would probably either just go grab a Muscle and Fitness or something like that and find the most basic workout in there as possible. Or if you don't want to do that, I would go ahead and figure out, I would learn, I get on the internet and figure out the basic weight of lifting for each muscle group. And just kind of do 3 sets of 8 and just do that for 2 weeks and see how you like it and move from there and find the things you like. That's what I would recommend doing. So do 3 sets of 8 on squats, you know, Monday, and then do a couple of, you know, basic leg workouts, like 3 sets of 8 or 3 sets of 10 or 12 or something like that. And then roll that over to bench the next day and work your triceps on top of that. And then do like shoulders or something like that, and, you know, do military press, and then do your biceps on that workout as well, and just kind of roll from there and figure out a couple, you know, ab workouts and things to do as well as that. That's how I would handle that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give an even simpler answer, which is, one, you have to find somebody who knows how to do the lifts. And if you can't do that, then get a book like Starting Strength, yeah, you know, by Mark Ripito. You know, get a book that about, you know, basic lifting, right? And you can find all these on, by the way, like Wiki Strength, any one, yeah, of these. The Starting Strength boards, very basic ones. I think it depends on what you're doing as well, like if you're also a runner, right? So I think, mm-hmm, at the bare minimum, if you want to talk about like the dumbest possible lifts, right? And then you're going to want to work out twice a week minimum, right? Yeah. You want to lift pretty heavy, right? Not, you know, 70 to 80% of your max once you figure out what your max is, right? And then you're going to want to include the following in each workout. You're going to include a squat,
mm-hmm,
right?
Certainly.
A push and a pull. That's it. Like, bare minimum, you need to do a squat, a push, and a pull. That's like extremely basic stuff, especially for a beginner, right? And then you do it on a schedule, like, you know, Tuesday, Friday, Monday, Thursday. Give yourself ample recovery time, especially because initially you'll make big gains, but you'll be really sore. So, and you know, you were saying, you know, 3 times 8. 8's good. 5's fine, especially if you're just going for strength, right? And you're not going for looking swole, bruh, if you're not going for hypertrophy, right?
Yeah. This is the thing, though, that I've always had an issue too with weight. It's, you know, accentuate the way you look. You know, because you're not going to be able to change your body type. You know, like, there's this Amazon woman in my gym, and she's probably about 6'3", and she probably weighs about 170 pounds. And she looks pretty good because she's in the gym pretty much powerlifting. Like, she's working out for her body, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I feel like, do you see what I'm saying? I mean, if you're thinking you're lanky and things like that, you're not necessarily going to get big and swole.
Oh, right.
No matter what you do.
Right, exactly. And I think, like, if it depends. If you just want to be stronger, that's an awesome way to do it. Now, if you want to, if you're like, I want to look X way,
mm-hmm,
within certain parameters, yeah, then go ahead and do like 8 to 10, 12, right? Really,
yeah,
really, the basic idea is to just go ahead and do it, right? Whatever's going to work within that basic framework for you. So that would be my suggestion. But the most important thing too is, and you'll back me up on this, lift with good form. We're form snobs here.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that, YouTube has been like awesome for this, right? Mm-hmm. Because usually when you find a place that knows what they're talking about, right? Like a 70sbig.com, they generally know what they're talking about. Some CrossFit sites know what they're talking about. You know, Strength Wiki knows what they're talking about in terms of good form, right?
Mm-hmm.
Elite FTS or any of those boards. Most of those guys at least know basically what they're talking about, and they can provide examples of both how and how not to do it. If I can give you the best example ever, by the way, of how not to do it, the Diesel Weasel is my favorite of how not to do it. Have I ever shown you the videos of the Diesel Weasel?
Oh.
Oh my God. He's a little dude. He's like about 150, maybe 160, and he would come on, like, I think it was Elite FTS or one of these massive strength boards, right? Yeah. And he would come on and go, "Hey, bros, getting pretty swole, working hard. Thought you guys, you know, might want to critique my form." And he'd come on there and he would do the most heinous, death-defying lifting you've ever seen. I mean, he would squat with the bar on like his way up on his neck and he would put 300 pounds, he would put like double his body weight on there, and he would try to do a set of five, and it would nearly decapitate him. Like, you could just see the bar, like, you know, and he's leaning over, and he's bending. It's horrible. His deadlift, there's one of him doing like a 400-pound deadlift or something at 150 pounds, which means that the guy's obviously strong, but he looks like he's trying to shit a manhole cover. You know, it's so bad, and he's bent over, and it's horrible. And every time he said this on the board, it's like, he would just post it on the board. It wasn't on YouTube. Like, he would just, you know, post the file on the board and be like, hey, go ahead, take a look. I want to hear about it. Every time he did that, they would say, oh my God, you're going to kill yourself. This is horrible. You need to cut the weight by like 30, 40%. Go find somebody who knows how to do it, right? And he'd go, I don't see that at all. I'm lifting I'm lifting strong. I think you guys are just haters. Like, every time he did anything. So you don't want to be that guy.
Right? I kind of admire him, though.
Yeah, you do kind of admire him because, you know, he's a true believer.
If you're going to go for that, just go for the gusto and not care. I mean, if it does not matter to you whatsoever.
Yeah, this post will probably be accompanied with Diesel Weasel's greatest hits, because eventually these guys got tired of him coming on and saying, hey, listen, I think you're just a bunch of haters. They're like, well, we'll put you on the internet, man. So they posted his videos to YouTube, and they are amazing. Did you find a question?
Yeah. All right. Let me see. Our friend Big F and Al.
Oh, yeah.
Our large gentleman friend. He asked, straps or no straps on the deadlift? This guy is a serious power lifter.
He is. And isn't he like – he's like three bills, right? I mean, he's a big dude.
He got three bills, yeah. I read about his workouts, too. I follow him on Twitter. They're always pretty impressive. Somebody's always puking, and they're laughing at him, which I kind of respect. Straps or no straps on deadlifts? I always say, if you can't grip it, you aren't lifting it. I completely agree. I'm not a big believer in using weight belts on squats anymore, things like that. I just feel like it's a recipe for, you know, cheating a little bit, you know, like, get a stronger grip, you know, have a stronger core. And I hate using the word core because I think it's kind of a, you know, a buzzword, but, you know, if you have strong abs and strong back and things like that, no matter how much you lift, you're going to be able to hold it. I mean, it's like a girdle for your body, you know? And, you know, that's kind of my opinion on that. But, you know, unless you're doing competitive weightlifting, you know, I'd say no thanks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I say none. And part of the deadlift is pulling it, right? And part of pulling it is holding it. And part of that's grip strength. That's part of it, right? And not to mention, I don't know if you've used straps, but when I do it, I always feel like it's going to yank my arms out of my sockets. I always feel way safer doing it without straps, because it gives me the freedom to just, if something's going really wrong, it gives me a split second more to unleash the weight, right? I know you're holding the straps on there, but still, the feeling of safety, it is way, way higher. I feel a greater degree of safety when I'm just gripping it. Not to mention, you're using something else. And again, I'm real simple, stupid. I'm just, why are you going to do that? Why are you going to pack something else along if you don't need it? I say no straps. We are unanimous in our decision on this, Big FNL. And keep up the good work. By the way, if you follow him on Twitter, bit of Mongolian barbecue worship. In fact, a lot of Mongolian barbecue mentions. So I think Big F and Al is destroying buffets wherever he goes. Let's go ahead and I like this question. This is an interesting question to me, which is in the gym, as a matter of etiquette, correct etiquette, see a guy at the gym getting advice, that's in quotes, from out of shape guy that will definitely injure him. Like, definitely. Do you speak up? That's from Twitter user Steve Donahue.
Me? No. If you're going to go to that guy and you're going to listen to him and you get hurt, that is your fault. I'm in the gym. I'm decompressing after a work day. I just want to listen to my iPod and bust out some weight. That's kind of my opinion on it. Morally, is it correct? Probably not. But that's just kind of my opinion on that.
Oh, I will say, by the way, another great tweet from Big F and Al, 12:06 p.m., March 12th. I think we broke our third training partner, but I am proud he got up off the floor and finished the session. Takes heart. That's pretty awesome, Big FNL. I think we have to work out with him.
Yeah.
The as far as that guy, I think it depends. I'm going to be very honest. I think it depends on whether he looks like a douchebag or not. Mm. Like, if it looks like somebody who's, you know, really trying to get stronger and really trying to, you know, really trying to learn, and they seem approachable, I might sort of very subtly say, yeah, don't listen to that guy. And that's it. I'm not going to, you know, get real in depth with it, but I'll be like, that dude. I mean, really, if a big fat dude comes over to you, and I don't mean fat like bull strong, because some dudes are fat and they're obviously jacked, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, no neck, you know, 270 pounds can, you know, throw a car through a window.
Hands and covered in chalk.
Right, right, right. Just look at the hands. That's the clue. Look at the hands.
Yeah.
Do they look like they've had them in a, you know, like a strong burning kiln for a couple of months, right? That dude's really fucking strong, right? If they don't look like that, don't trust him. But if that other guy, I might say something. I might, but it's situational, I'll admit. And you also have to be prepared to be kind of a dick if you're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
But what do you know? Well, I know that's wrong. And when you spit a vertebrae out of your back like a grape seed, right, across the room, I'm going to reserve the right to laugh. That's okay.
I got a question for you. In your weightlifting experience, and all the gyms I've been in, you know, I've been working out my dad since I was like 13, you know, in Decatur, Alabama, God's country, and in Birmingham. And every gym I've ever been in, from Decatur, Alabama, to Memphis, Tennessee, all the way down to Birmingham, I've always had this guy in my gym. And I'm just curious if you have him in Atlanta as well. I'm sure he's in the outlying regions of Georgia, but the guy who works out with jeans and cowboy boots and a sleeveless shirt.
I had him. I've not had him in InTown Atlanta, but I will tell you, I had a guy like that who had a power mullet, who worked out at Pete's gym in Gainesville. And I will tell you, he was awesome. That guy was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, like nice guy. He's like does like, you know, refrigerator repair or just something awesome like that, like really useful and like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And like, you just bench press a truck.
Yeah, the guy I knew like that. Was actually a huge Conan the Barbarian fan. So he kind of based his whole life around being Conan.
Like, so, limitations of women?
Yeah, he was hellaciously strong. Like, that was all he wanted in life, was to be, like, really big, sunburnt, have a massive chest, and be able to squat, like, 500 pounds. That was, I don't think I ever saw him doing anything that wasn't squat, bench, or deadlift. So yeah, he was outrageously strong. And one day I dropped I basically just completely lost an incline press, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it landed on my neck. And you know, you're like trying to roll it down off your chest, and he comes pounding across the gym, and he really looked like Conan running through the snow. And I wish I could have told him that. You know, like, it was probably the fulfillment of everything he wanted in life, that I looked over and I was like, look, it's Redneck Conan. Oh my God. Let's go to another question before we move on to tonight's material, our review of the 4-hour body. And that would be from Michael. Michael has a very specific question.
Uh-huh.
His question is, can you recommend alternate grips for dumbbell workouts? He's got a buddy who's a drummer and is having trouble with his grip. And you gotta have a partner, or things get kind of boring. So, can you recommend anything for
him? I just always thought there's one way to hold a dumbbell.
I think it depends on what you're doing. I think what he means is they're doing a lot of arm stuff.
Uh huh.
You know, and my approach would be one, make it a little more economical. If you're starting to have problems with that, you know, either one, lay off for a while. You know,
what's the problem? Is that what I don't understand?
The problem is that his buddy is a drummer, and he's having all kinds of mild neuropathy kind of symptoms, right? And mm-hmm. he's taking a lot of nights off. But he's a drummer, so he's probably just having the standard kind of problems that drummers have in their hands.
Yeah.
And in their wrists, right? So I think the only thing I can think of that might help is, one, simplify. Because if you're doing, like, you know, the 14 movement arm workout, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have to cut that shit out, and you're gonna have to simplify. You're gonna have to be like, I'm doing two exercises, not eight. And then the other thing too is, with hand position, avoid doing like the extreme like bicep curl, and stick to something a little more sort of in line with the natural alignment. Like when you lay your hand on the table, and again, this isn't me making anything up. This is, you know, this is old lifting lore, right? If you lay your hand on a table, it lays flat, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're Sandy Koufax and you've been throwing a curveball for 10 years, in which case your hand is so distorted by what you do that it lays like palm up, right? Most people, the palm lies down. So in that case, do chin-ups, right? Mm-hmm. And do hammer curls, right? Mm-hmm. So to keep the hand in a more neutral position, right? So you're not torquing that wrist over, because that's what drummers, especially if they have jazz grip, right? Yeah. Where their hands are sort of torqued back a little bit when you hold it. Just something that's more sort of wrist neutral as opposed to switching it over. That's my extremely amateur advice on it, but I have had friends who had wrist stuff before, and that really helped. But go heavier, reduce the number of reps, and simplify.
I'd be curious, too, to know shoulder placement, to see his shoulder posture as well. One thing is, when you lift weights a lot, what'll happen is your thumbs will turn in.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads towards an impingement at some point. And especially if you're leaning over and you're hunched over and your shoulders are always turned in when you're doing stuff, not necessarily lifting weights and things like that, it could affect you eventually. I had a big problem with my wrists and hands when I was typing like that. Be real mindful of keeping your back kind of, your shoulders back and more squared, you know, rounded out towards your body. It's sort of what you're saying too, I think. But that would be something I'd be curious to find out too, you know, because that could lead to some nerve problems and things like that, leading from your shoulders to your wrists.
Yeah, but by the way, Michael the G1 is fine and wants us to know that this is all part of his Duke of Curl campaign.
I don't really get like weightlifting humor like that. I don't really understand it.
No. It's not anything I get at all.
Yeah, why is that funny?
Yeah, it's beyond me. The final question for the night's a pretty simple one. How much you bench, man?
I will bet right now I could bench, and this is probably sad, but I could probably bench about 215 pounds.
215? You think you're right for a single rep, right?
I don't think I could bench press that much. I got this weird, like, I got these long arms and this long torso, and with this skinny chest, I'm not built to bench press. In college, when I was playing, I could get up 285. I got close to 315 a couple times, but it just never was a strong point. And it's one of the reasons that, like, I make up jokes about squatting, is because I was good at squatting. That was the one thing I was better than everybody else at, especially my weight. So it's kind of where the obsession came from. Like, all my friends were just great bench pressers. Like, I'm going to squat. I'll show you.
the Squatland Yard was born when you took out a lease on it. I'm at about 250. I'm around there.
Yeah.
For a single rep. So around 250 for the bench, which could be better, but I got some long-ass arms, man. Of course, everyone will say this when they bench. Oh, yeah, man. My arms are long. That's why I only bench 375. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. We like transparency. Skinny B. Boland, thank you for your question. Thanks all of our readers for their fascinating questions. Hopefully we did our best to answer them in as entertaining, amateur, but hopefully slightly informative way. Let's go ahead and move to the review. I sent you a copy of the book by Tim Ferriss, called The 4-Hour Body. And
thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Would you just kind of summarize what this book is about, if you would, just in, you know, like a couple of words, because it's a little hard to summarize.
This book, well, it was written by somebody who in 2008 Wired magazine called the world's greatest self-promoter.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty apt about this, but it's about the kind of guy who does air squats at a Nine Inch Nails concert. So, And then he describes everything lifting and health wise in the most scientific and then easiest, like, you know, corner cutting ways possible, which is kind of strange, you know, and I guess it's efficient. I guess the guy's all about efficiency and that's kind of his goal. If a lot of it was completely inappropriate, such as the subject that we'll be discussing here pretty shortly. But a lot of it was kind of interesting too. One thing that kind of irked me about it was the kettlebell swing, which is there's lines and lines and lines of people at my gym now doing the kettlebell swing, and I still do not understand it at all, but that's just me.
Yeah, the basic design of the book is that he's going to apply the Pareto principle, right?
Yeah.
We're just going to try to boil things down to as minimalist a design as possible, and it's based on the 4-hour work week where he essentially outsourced his entire life, right? Like, yeah. that's what he did. And then the 4-hour body is based on sort of the same principles. And if you look at it, the lifting is actually, the lifting's pretty solid, but it's all taken from like, you know, it's all taken from Louis Simmons. It's all taken from real basic weightlifting programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which they're probably a little minimalist if you're not on the diet, okay? You probably need a little bit more in terms of developing strength, okay? But it's pretty solid shit. Now, he also really recommends kettlebell swinging, okay? Like, oh, the kettlebell, that's like, you know, that's what's going to build your ass. He did the RKC certification, like paid for it. Mm-hmm. You should remember, by the way, that Tim Ferriss made a shitload of money selling a company, okay? A sports nutrition company. And is now a full-time angel investor, okay? Thus, my theory, which is the 4-hour body, a.k.a. everything's easier when you're sitting on, like, $40 million. Right? I figured all this amazing stuff out. Of course you did, dickhead. You're independently wealthy.
You'd be surprised if I could figure out my cubicle.
Right. So it's amazing what I figure out when I just have, you know, all day to just kind of wank around and go to Nicaragua to do these drastic all-beef diets to elevate my testosterone, right? So, yeah, it's a sample size of one, and it is the most easily satirizable book ever. Like, and just to start you on this, there's an entire section on testosterone and your sex life and becoming a better partner, okay? Like, being sexier. And where do we start with this? Like, because the rest of the book is, like, hucksterish, right?
Yeah.
And I will tell you that I'm doing basically like a model of that same diet, which of course is all taken from somewhere else, right?
Sure.
Like, all he's doing is conglomerating stuff that works from other parts. There's not a lot that's actually original other than him putting himself through all of this.
Well, I mean, yeah, he says that, you know, that's the, you know, like, hey, I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is what the expert said.
Right.
But the thing that, of course, the most upsetting thing for me was definitely the 15-minute orgasm section for the ladies, but, which I, you know, just sounds like the most horrifying, upsetting, like, sterile, unromantic sex session I could possibly imagine. Like, he recommends essentially sitting on a lady's chest, you know, while she lays back and yoga breathes, and then he just finger fucks her. I mean, it's like what woman would enjoy that? Like what's wrong with like looking in a lady's eyes? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't get that. Like, it was so gross.
Yeah, it's the entire sex section begins with a description of him after he's been in Nicaragua elevating his testosterone with like insane red meat consumption along with other supplements. By the way, that's another thing. Everything's real easy if you can go get it fixed in Nicaragua. If you're an angel investor who still likes to save money on your elective medical procedures, you just go down and he's like, oh, everyone should do this. You know, just go down there for like 15 days with your 11 days of vacation that the average American gets. Shit, fuck. Right?
gonna take my vacation days. That's how sad I am.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna take all my vacation days, go down to Nicaragua, and get my testosterone elevated through monkey gland application and a lot of red meat consumption. The description in the chapter is that he meets a woman and is receiving all kinds of attention, which he writes about this in a way that's mock humble and fails miserably. Like, the man is not a master of tone, okay? And he says, "I warn you, my blood chemistry is drastically different than when we met before." Which, that's what I'm going to say the next time I'm completely drunk and I see someone I know.
Oh God, that would be so funny.
"Hey, how you doing?" "I'm warning you. Last time you saw me sober, my blood chemistry is drastically different than when you saw me before."
You'll
There's no
never believe.
telling what could happen. All these girls are looking at me. Yeah, Spencer, that's because you just sprayed tons of ketchup on your shirt. That's why. While you were eating like three baskets of fries. That's why everyone's staring at you. Not because your testosterone's elevated. So, is there anything else to say other than this book that it is like the most self-promoting, glib? It is, or he admits, it's basically a crib sheet.
Yeah.
And I will say this to its benefit, it does summarize a lot of stuff that can be found elsewhere. All right. Also, all right, I have to go back another critique. Before we're like, okay, nice stuff. Is there anybody you've ever heard who recommended more insane supplements than Tim Ferriss?
No, well, hold I can think of somebody.
No, but off the top of your head.
No. Not that insane.
Yeah, like at one point he's like, to elevate your testosterone, you need some fermented cod liver oil. Fuck that.
I still just have this, like, the women that he's taking, like, yeah, I was on a date with this, Midwestern yoga instructor who's brand new to town. You know what she really is? An escort.
And I gave
That
her
woman is. If you're like a.
a 15-minute orgasm.
Right, yeah. That woman is an escort. She was paid to be there. There's no way he met some girl who's a brand new to town yoga instructor. Off the boat, it just out to dinner with some angel
Yeah,
investor, and
that entire thing is a penthouse forum letter.
I know, God.
That
Except,
whole thing.
yeah, but like the guys on Penthouse Forum, like, are a little bit more romantic than Mr. Ferris.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, undoubtedly. And the other really amusing thing he insists is he's like, "Oh yeah, if you really want like an endothermic reaction," which it sometimes he just throws out words because they sound scientific and fun. He's like, "If you really want that, you should take cold showers." That's it. That's another way to sort of, get you going. I'm like, that's really. Everything I read in that book that was a justification of that was basically no different than the Russian guy telling me, cold water into sauna, very good for you. Very good for you." It basically boiled down to that. Also, on another little niggling note of personal preference, the dude uses machines.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more. That's the worst. I mean, that's just, old ladies.
Yeah, I'm down on that. Oh yeah, you can use a machine. It's the same effect.
No.
Not spiritually, man.
No.
Not spiritually. So, overall, I would say this: if you know absolutely nothing, right? If you are a naif, if you are starting from step one, don't believe a lot of the kettlebell stuff, and understand that this man is. There's a word to describe somebody who is just outrageously full of sketchy ideas. That all sort of have a grain of truth. And it was used to describe, I believe it was used to describe Raymond Kurzweil once. The word is bunkrupt. Not bankrupt, but bunkrupt. Okay?
Yeah.
Tim Ferriss is a little bunkrupt.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. All right, and in conclusion, now that we've decided to summarize this by saying that it's full of shit, but slightly valuable. Let's go ahead and move to our inspirational figures of the week. I understand you have yours all lined up.
Oh man, I can't wait to talk about these guys.
All right, please do.
these two gentlemen, the Barbarian Brothers. If you remember them, some of the 80s, some of the great movies from the 80s, we had the Barbarians, where they played the children of a performance group who was being attacked by a guy looking for a ruby, and these two bodybuilder twins have to save the day. Now, both these guys look like Gael Garcia Bernal on steroids, so which makes it even funnier now. But these guys are tan, and they kind of look like the Jersey Shore guys a little bit, except if the Jersey Shore were in 1987. It's kind of the best way to describe these guys. I had a middle school football coach. We were discussing weightlifting one day, and I think he read about him in some magazine. He was like, he called me Encino Man because in middle school and high school growing up, I looked just like Brendan Fraser. She's like, Encino Man, you wouldn't believe these Barbarian twins. They're going to the weight room, and they don't even have a plan. And I was just like, wow, coach, that's pretty interesting. And like growing up, I could think about, you know, remembering that growing up, and now it's pretty obvious that they're both, you know, clearly on steroids.
yeah.
I got through that, I guess, without saying. If you remember the movie, The Babysitters?
Yes.
I can't remember if that's the exact name or not, but that was one of their movies. God, I mean, they are just so creepy looking. It's unbelievable. In their interviews. Oh, Twin Sitters was the name of the movie.
Twin Sitters.
Twin Sitters. If you look at the body, yeah, the Barbarian Brothers and Twin Sitters. You're never home alone when you're a twin.
Well, I will go ahead and match you by going very old school.
Oh, man.
And going up to, I'm going up to Hill Country, baby, because we're going to Toccoa, Georgia, where we are going to profile the original American strongman, Paul Edward Anderson. Paul Edward Anderson, kind of a mutant, like literally so. He had Bright's disease, all right? He weighed anywhere from like 320 when he was particularly slim all the way up to like 370, all right? And it was 5'11". And that's being pretty charitable for him being 5'11", okay? But he was just redneck strong, just a ridiculous man, an absolutely insane athlete who went at the height of the Cold War. I'm sort of paraphrasing the Wikipedia entry, but I'll do my best not to just do that and actually tell the story. They went to in 55. They went and they competed against the Russians. The Russians were all these like big cut dudes, right? Mm-hmm. Well orchestrated guys, and the Russians laughed at him as he went up to the bar, all right, and then grabbed it and pressed an overhead press of 402 pounds. 402, which is absolutely insane. Also, by the way, he set records. He had a 185 kilogram clean and press, which pre-roids, pre sort of knowledgeable nutrition, 145 kilo snatch, 196 kilo clean and jerk, which in Olympic is insane. Now, but the thing that's most amazing to me is this, though. They used to do this insane lift where they would let somebody bicep curl off the edge of a table. Mm-hmm. This was in the Olympics, where you could bicep, like they put your arm on the edge of a table, and they would give you a weight, and you would have to bicep curl it off the edge. And Paul Anderson did something around 200 pounds like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Just an absolutely ridiculous amount of weight. In addition to that, he could, with a one-arm overhead press, could do 300 pounds.
Here's my thing that I'm pretty impressed with Mr. Anderson is I looked at his Wikipedia page as well. He lived to be 62 years old, which is, in terms of strongmen, that's like 130 years old.
Oh yeah, in terms of strongman weight.
Yeah, I mean, like if you're a strongman of any era, like your heart goes out at 49.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, he's like
Which
you're
I'm pretty
talking.
impressed about.
You're talking about a guy who really should have been dead at like 40.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what like the real straw man does to their heart.
Yeah,
I mean, it's.
and here's the fun part with Mr. Anderson is that there is a sentence in his Wikipedia. There's two that are particularly impressive. One that he went to the 1956 Olympic Games with a 104-degree fever.
Didn't they kill you in 1956? Are you
And
automatically dead? I guess it's scarlet fever.
won gold
Oh, God.
with 104-degree fever. Also, and I think this might need some editing, Wikipedia. It says in the late 1970s, Anderson became a hero to a small boy going to school in the Evansville, Indiana area by breaking a brick as well as stopping bank robbers. I don't really know what that means, but it sounds pretty awesome. What I always ask this at the end of broadcast, but what did you learn tonight?
Oh man, I learned I'm probably gonna die at 30.
Your habits can't be worse than mine, and I'm at 34, 34 and ticking. I learned that you're gonna have a really long 8 weeks, man.
Surprisingly, it's going pretty well. Like, I just totally stopped drinking too. Like, not on purpose. Like, I just don't drink anymore.
Because you can't.
I know. I can't. Like, I drank a Four Loko, like Saturday night. It just killed me. Like, the next day, I was just, dead, lying on the ground, just crying.
By
Oh.
the way, do you have an underground store of Four Loko?
Yeah.